praise and worship. Lord, I'm free. Lord, I'm free. Free to dance and sing. Free to lift my hands and worship. Lord, I'm free. Lord, I'm free. Free to dance.
Free to dance and sing. Free to lift my hands and worship, Lord, I'm free. Lord, I'm free. Free to dance and sing. Free to lift my hands and worship, Lord, I'm free. Lord, I'm free. Free to dance and sing. Free to lift my hands and worship, Lord, I'm free. Lord, I'm free. Free to dance and sing. Free to lift my hands and worship. Lord, I'm free. Lord, I'm free. I'm a free worshiper. I'm a free worshiper. I'm a free worshiper. Lord, I'm free. I'm a free worshiper. I'm a free worshiper. I'm a free worshiper. Lord, I'm free. Free to dance and sing. Free to lift my hands and worship. Lord, I'm free. Lord, I'm free. Free to dance and sing. Free to lift my hands and worship. Lord, I'm free. Lord, I'm free. I'm a free worshiper. I'm a free worshiper. I'm a free worshiper. Lord, I'm free. I'm a free worshiper. I'm a free worshiper. I'm a free worshiper. Lord, I'm free.
I thank God I'm free. And I'll never be bound again. I thank God I'm free. And I'll never be bound again. Again. Hey.
I thank God I'm free. And I'll never be bound again.
I
thank God I'm free, and I'll never be bound again. I'm a free worshiper. I'm a free worshiper. I'm a free worshiper. Lord, I'm free. I'm a free worshiper. I'm a free worshiper. I'm a free worshiper. Lord, I'm free.
Lord.
Lord, I'm free. 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 Lord, I'm free.
My soul is resting.
it's just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm
on Saturday, time 10:15 for everyone. For those who would like to stay for lunch afterwards, you are welcome to do so. July 12th through the 17th is the Wood River Baptist District Association and Macedonian MBC, East St. Louis, Illinois. That is the end of our announcements. So because it's so short, please don't tell the pastor that I broke protocol. I want to ask my two granddaughters, Kalani and Callie, to stand up, which is the church, they call it church baby. This is their last Sunday. They're heading to Florida on Thursday, and I'm taking them down. So please pray for them and just have just say a goodbye to them. Thank you.
Baptist Church, we welcome you to our Sunday morning service and pray that God will bless and keep each and every one of you. At this time, we're going to ask those that can stand, if you would stand as we do the Lord's Prayer. Together, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever Amen. While you are still standing, from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. Our scripture reading is together. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God, love others." You may be seated.
Thank you. they saying it when your face start looking funny, right?
Oh, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Thank you. Because sometimes you got to just remind yourself, you know, we're going to magnify the Lord today. I know I don't feel like it, but God's been good. And sometimes you got to say to yourself, nah, bro, get up. We about to do some things, right? Because life just be like that sometimes. And I'm encouraged today to be reminded that our soul can magnify the Lord and we can make the call. It's time for our offering this morning. I'm going to ask that our officers would come forward as we get ready to bring the offering. Amen. Amen. Our offertory appeal will come from the book of Malachi, third chapter, and I'll be putting in the beginning at the sixth verse. And it reads as follows, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Scripture. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we thank you so much for the blessed privilege to give back to you just a portion of what you so richly blessed us with, Lord God. We know, oh God, that the cattle on a thousand hills belong to you and everything belongs to you, and we're just stewards in this place. So God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch our hearts now, Lord God. Father God, you want us to give cheerfully and not out of compulsion. So Lord God, bless our hearts right now that what we do in this moment will glorify you, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, that these tithes and offerings will be used for the upbuilding of your kingdom, Lord God, that the name of Jesus may be proclaimed from this place, dear Lord, and throughout this nation. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. It's in the name of our Lord Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to ask you to stand for those who are able and follow the leadership of our ushers as you come forward.
This time, it's prayer time. You pray for me, I pray for you, and we can see what prayer can do. There's many things going on in this world today. There's many things going on in our country. There's many things going on in our communities. There's many things going on in our families. And there's many things going on in our churches that only God can correct. So as we come today for altar call prayer, we ask that you remember all those things that are happening in your life and the life of people that you are familiar with. And let us come and pray that God will heal and correct each and every one's situation. It's prayer time. Those that would like to come to the altar may come. We also want to pray for our pastor and his family in their absence. Heavenly Father, Lord God of our lives, Father, we come before you today as humble as we know how, asking for thy blessings upon each and every one of us. Father, we come today thanking you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us and that you will bestow upon us. Father, we thank you for allowing us to open our eyes this morning, to get out of our beds and be able to clothe ourselves in our right minds. We thank you for the food that you provided for us to eat this morning. And Father, we pray that you would just continue to watch over, bless, and keep us. Touch our hearts so that we may humble ourselves, Father, that we may pray that you may take away all of our sins. Father, we pray today that you would just be with us, bless us, and keep us. Father, we pray today for healing on those that need healing. We pray today for a blessing on those that need blessing. Father, we pray that thou would lift up bowed down heads, that thou would put joy in hurtful hearts, that thou would just touch each and every one of us, so that we may praise you to the highest. Father, we pray in the name that you will continue to touch the hearts of all those in leadership positions, so that all may come to you, humble themselves, and seek your advice in their decision making. Father, we ask for thy blessings upon each and every church that's opened in your name today. Father, we ask him for thy blessings in our Congress and in our Senate and on our House of Representatives and in the White House. Father, we just ask that thou would touch all hearts so that we may look to the hills from which cometh our help, knowing all that our help comes from the Lord. Father, we ask thy blessings upon our pastor that thou would keep him in your protective care. We ask for thy blessings upon the one that's giving the word this morning. Father, we pray that you would touch each and every one of our hearts, that we may not just be healed of the word, but that we may be doers of the word also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A word will be brought to us this morning from our own Reverend Nathaniel Coleman. Give him an amen.
Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. It is again an honor to stand before you on today. I thank God for Jesus. Well, if it had not been for the Lord, oh my son, oh, where would I be? I thank God for the privilege of prayer today, too. Know that God hears and answers your prayers. Unless I get too happy right now, we're going to get ready for our message on this morning. I'm happy. I'm good. And I want you to find, if you would, in your scriptures, in your Bible, Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21 through 27. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 27. But before we go further, we got a proclamation and a declaration we're going to make. Is Jesus the answer today? So as you find your scriptures, I want us to just meditate that. Meditate on that word. Start singing, didn't you? No. I see y'all up there. Thank y'all. For those who are able, if you would stand with me as we read our scripture for the morning. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 27. I'll be reading from the NIV version of the text, so I may find a little different, and I believe that's one of the versions you also see on the screen. But let us read together. Verse 21, chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, it's like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. I would like to take up for a topic this morning, earthly endurance and heavenly assurance. Earthly endurance and heavenly assurance. And hopefully before I'm done, that'll make more sense. You may be seated. You may be seated. Not too long ago, and as always, I kind of peek into the news every now and then. And man, there's a lot of discouraging things that we see going on. Obviously, there are some actions and reactions and some things we see in our government. We talk about that all the time. That's concerning. We see people celebrate the stock market, but yet seemingly ignore those who are hungry or don't have a place to stay. And we say, everybody doing all right. It's like they're not looking. We wonder sometimes when they do these things and they say it in the name of Christianity, okay, is that what I'm about? So it brought to mind, particularly when they started about dividing up the voting sections, I was like, man, this is discouraging. And it put me in the mind of a song that came out, and I did a little research, but it's a song called Never Gonna Break My Faith. Never Gonna Break My Faith. And if you remember, and some of you may, but that was originally scored from 2006, but it was this movie about Bobby Kennedy and the Kennedys and the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Yeah, yeah. That was a very turbulent time in our nation, y'all. Many of us had our hopes in that king who was listening to, in that president. We ain't got no kings yet. In that president who was understanding the will of the people, who was trying to put things in motion that will help even the disenfranchised and the marginalized. But he was shot and killed. And we were very discouraged as a people. Fast forward to when the song originally came out in 2006, that was a time where we were also had a lot of difficulty going on, right? The Queen of Soul and the Queen of Hip Hop got together and brought this song as we reflected on some of the difficulties in the world and as the score of that movie, and they came up with this topic. And then in 2020, y'all remember 2020, right? We had things like that little COVID thing going on. We was dealing with the situation with George Floyd. And old Riri, Sister Aretha, sought to bring the song back again. Never gonna break my faith. So it made me start thinking, how can I have an unbreakable faith in times like these? How can I stand when it seems like everything in the world is trying to get me to fall? I'm here today to tell you that in this message, we're going to talk about how Jesus is indeed our answer and how Jesus and the teachings of Jesus in his word can lead us in the way which brings not only our heavenly assurance, and we talk about that all the time, but also can give us earthly endurance, earthly endurance. Now, endurance, what is that? And hopefully you've heard that word before, but it talks about the act of quality or power of withstanding hardship or stress. Can you stay in the game when things get tough? Do you run for the hills or do you go back out there and fight a little bit longer? Do you have endurance? In times like these, saints of God, we need endurance. Endurance. Because God, Jesus even told us himself that in this world we will have trouble. So if anybody tells you that as soon as you come into the faith that everything's going to be easy in your life, no, no. As a matter of fact, the very reason we need Jesus is to equip us for seasons just like these. And what about that word assurance? Because we do have in Jesus a heavenly assurance. And that assurance just means freedom from doubt and certainty about something. And in these turbulent times, sometimes we question, is there anything for certain? This text that we're going to talk about a little bit today is from Jesus' earthly ministry in the Gospel of Matthew. And as we know, Jesus came to fulfill the long-awaited prophecy that was told in the Old Testament. People at this time were looking for the Messiah. When he began his ministry, remember, he was baptized in the Jordan. He was affirmed by the Father who spoke from heaven and said, "This is my Son, who I am well pleased." And then he was led into the wilderness for temptation. And through the word, he was able to stand during temptation as an example for us. And after all these things, he went out on his ministry. And yes, he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He helped those who had nothing. He spoke the word. The biggest thing he brought was the word about the kingdom. A kingdom in which God rules. A kingdom which the people of God, the chosen of God, was meant to bring to this world. In Matthew 4, 23 and 25, it reads, Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread over all Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases. Those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, he healed them. And because of this, large crowds from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. So Jesus had picked up a following. People wanted to know more about this Jesus. People were wondering, is this the Messiah that we read about in the Old Testament? Is this the one who comes to set us free? Is this the one who came to deliver us from bondage? They had questions on their mind. But Jesus did many things, but one of the main things he did to teach in the scripture today comes at the end of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 is one of Jesus' first of five sermons in this particular gospel, where he begins to let the people know what this new kingdom is going to look like, because there were some ideas out there that wasn't quite right. So he began laying out the plan for the kingdom, right? It highlighted the heart of Jesus' ministry to reintroduce the law. Do y'all realize that the law that they talked about in Leviticus and Deuteronomy was intended to be the same law, the kingdom? But when it got to messing around in folks' heart, we didn't quite handle it right. See, we thought it was going to be a bunch, just follow the rules and we'll be okay. But from the very beginning, God intended for his people to be a light in the world. God intended for his people to be different in spite of all that was going on around them. So from the very beginning, those old hard-headed, stiff-necked children of Israel, they had the word of the law that was supposed to set them free, but they ended up in bondage. So one of the reasons Jesus came was to try and set things straight. He said, no, I didn't come to destroy the law. No, I actually came to fulfill it. I'm actually came to let you know what I was trying to tell you to begin with. If we are going to be a kingdom people, you got to know God's heart. See, the kingdom principle is about the heart. It's not about outward appearance, but it's about those things that changed heart that we come because the power of God that works within us. And note that in this text, he invites everyone who would take his teaching to heart to that same type of righteousness that he called them to in this word. It was open to everyone, no matter how old you are, how young you are, no matter where you are. Jesus' word came to everyone, right? Just like the law was intended to guide the children of Israel in their conquest of Canaan, the teachings of Jesus equip us to navigate the harsh world we experience right now. See, God knew that his people, when they were going into that promised land, was going to come across some things that were not like him. Some things that God despised. Some things that God told them, you go destroy that and you're going to be different. You will be the lender and not the borrower. You will be the example of living righteousness in this world, not like them. He wanted to get rid of those practices that spit in the face of God himself and show them that life could be lived in a way that glorified his name. My hope today is to talk just a little bit through those teachings as we look when Jesus started to land the plane in chapter 7. He kind of starts summing up one of the main things he was trying to get across to them. So I want to demonstrate to you the value of those teachings for us, not only for access to heaven, which that's important, but also for right now as we deal with some of the many terrible things that we see going on in our world, because we are still called to be that light, right? So when I first thought about this text, I wanted to start right in at verse 24. And that's where he talks about the type of building that you have. But what I noticed in chapter 24, it talks about therefore. And it was very important to step back and see what he was talking about in that chapter 7. See, Jesus had already talked about the Beatitudes. He'd already talked about how to treat other people. He even talked about how to pray. He said, when you pray, you go into your closet. Your Father in heaven will hear you. He began to lay down for them a right relationship with God. He told them about who they were. He told them about who God was, and he told them about how they can be successful in what they called to do, what they're called to do in life, as long as they stay in for fellowship with him, right? But in those in verses 21 through 27, I had to go back and take a look in that 21st verse because it's actually kind of sobering. See, in that seventh chapter, Jesus was really talking about judgment. Now, you know that phrase that everybody loves right now? The Bible says you don't need to be judging nobody. So why are you judging me? Right? We love that verse, but we don't read the rest of the chapter. See, he didn't say that judgment in and of itself was wrong, but what he says is judge yourself before you judge others, because then you can lead them with the love of God, with the wisdom of God, with the kindness of God, so that they can get on the right path, right? So the first verses in this chapter is trying to set them straight to those leaders who had turned their position as the leaders and the teachers as the rulers into more so gatekeepers that was keeping people away from the kingdom instead of bringing them towards the kingdom, right? Okay. See, that this verse hits hard. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only though the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, this text is also found in the Gospel of Luke. And Luke even make it plain, because he just comes straight out, why you call me Lord, Lord, and you ain't doing what I'm telling you to do? And it causes us to challenge exactly what does that term Lord mean? Because we use it all the time. Praise the Lord, saints. Oh, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? But who is the Lord to you? And that's the heart of what Jesus was talking about right here when he started to challenge them about that judgment. Because they were saying they were followers of God, but they were not followers of his word. See, we verbalize Jesus as our Lord, but do we really act like it? Right? Right? It's like when parents... their kids trying to run over the household, and sometimes it looked like the kids running the house instead of the parents. Wait a minute, I'm supposed to be telling you what to do, and I'm telling you what to do for your good. Those rules in the house is not just to give you a headache, it's to stop you from killing your little silly self. So as parents, sometimes we have to do what our kids don't want them to do, but you know what, sometimes it would be like if we said, well, y'all just run the house today, y'all tell me what to do. You know, sometimes we try and teach our Lord the same way. What is the Lord to you? Is Jesus truly your Lord, or is he just your partner, your co-pilot, sitting over there just in case I get in the bind? Is Jesus your Lord, or is he just a servant who you can call on when you need something, but put him back to the side when you don't need him no more? See, there's a lot more that I can say about this text. But the main point I want you to get is before we even talk about building your foundation, you got to recognize that Jesus is Lord. And if you truly proclaim him to be Lord of your life, it's incumbent upon us to take his word seriously. I know. I just don't see why God would want us to have to do it. If you don't see, sometimes we look at it from our mindset. And you know that the mind of God is, we don't have that type of mind. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. But instead of going back to the God and say, God, okay, I'm going to be honest. That don't make no sense. See, we can go back to him, and he gives us of his spirit. He gives us enlightenment. And in due time, if we just trust in the fact, okay, my baseline is God right, I'm wrong. That's my baseline. So I'm going to stick with you, God, until I get it right. Sometimes I need to get some things cleaned up in mind, but a lot of times we'll start hearing things on social media. We'll start hearing other people talk about it. Well, look at those Christians in the government. Is that what Christianity is about? Do you really want to be part of that? Wait a minute. Do you see they put that white picture of Jesus on the wall? Oh, wait a minute. You're a black person. Why are you going to serve a white Jesus? All those little things that eat at our faith and it fractionalizes. Is that a word? I'm going to make it a word today. It fractionalizes those things that we set our hearts to. See, faith in God is about holding those things in our heart that helps form our opinions, that help form our moves, that help us to do those things that he calls us to do to help us live righteously in this world. That was his main call out for those leaders, the religious leaders. And when you look at through that Sermon on the Mount, they was all about outside appearance. They were all about trying to prove that they were better than other people. But they comparing themselves not to the right one. They should be comparing themselves to the righteousness that God talks about. And it says that if you want to follow me, you got to be perfect, just like our Father in heaven is perfect. See, many of us would stop right there, right? But I'm telling you, the message of the kingdom says you are in a place now where you have the support you need, you have the help you need, you have the guidance you need to be successful. Just like when they went to make the conquest over Canaan, God said, I'm going to be with you. Do it the way I told you to do. And they took out nations that were much bigger than them because God was with them. They were able to take over the land and proclaim the promise because God was with them. And it wasn't until they separated from God that they started getting in trouble. Those things in the world was starting to look a little bit attractive to them, so they got curious. And their curiosity, they say it killed the cat, but it killed their spirituality is what it did, right? So we got to be careful about what we see in the world, because if we want to build a foundation in Christ, we've got to first believe that what he said is for our good and not our harm, right? See, we can endure when we got a strong foundation, and that's what we want to look at in the next part of this text, right? So Matthew 7, 24 through 27 gives a parable, right? See, Jesus used the power of parable to highlight how the teachings that he'd been talking about in verses 5 through 7 about this new kingdom can impact those who truly take it to heart. The parable stars two individuals, and they're known throughout the Bible. They've been in many scenes. The two individuals are the wise and the foolish. And throughout the scriptures, you see contrast between the wise and the fool. And that's who Jesus brings up here. In verse 24, it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Oh, but wait a minute. Verse 26, let's see what that fool do. He said, but everyone who hears these words, wait a minute, they heard the word too, and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the storms rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Mm-hmm. See, what I want to do as we look at this text is look at those things we got in common, right? Look at the things that were common between the foolish and the wise. Let's see. It says, everyone who hears these words, okay, both the wise person and the foolish person heard those words. They were in the presence of Jesus, the teacher, Jesus, God in the flesh, Jesus, the one who gave them the Bible, who gave them the truth. They were with him. They heard the words, okay? So both the wise and the foolish heard the word, right? And then it said one man built his house. Oh, wait a minute. Look, the fool was building the house too, right? The fool was building the house. Everybody here, we are called, as long as we have life in our bodies, to build, right? You can talk about building a family. You can talk about building your friends, building your finances, and also about your faith, right? But all of us, as long as there's breath going through our bones, as long as there's blood running through our veins, we should be about building on what God gave us. I think about the parable of those who are given the talents. And remember, the one that had five talents went out and got more. The one who had two talents went out and got more. But the one that had one talent said, oh, I ain't going to use my talents. I ain't going to use my gift because I might sin and miss heaven. So you know what I'm going to do, Lord? I'm going to bury it under a rock. So at least I got my talent when I get back. Can I come in now? And what did Jesus tell him? You fool. You knew how I was. You knew how seriously I took righteousness. And you knew I called you to be a light in this world. But you chose to hide yours under a bushel. And he cast them in the outer darkness. See, I don't want to skip over the fact that hell is real, right? And this scripture deals with that. It lets you know that path to eternity. And we have in this kingdom a path to eternal life. And that eternal life is in Jesus Christ. And it began from the moment that Jesus defeated death on the cross. He died that we might live. He died that we may have that power of eternal life. But this message makes us wonder now, if both of them heard the word and both of them built. Wait a minute. There's one more thing. It said both the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew
and beat against that house. Do y'all see that happened to both the wise and the foolish? See, that's the thing about life. Life is an equal opportunity application, right? When the rain falls on me, it's going to fall on you if we both standing outside. When we had those storms come through the other week, everybody's house got messed up, right? Some worse than the other. We lost a few trees, but we came back here to talk about it. Praise God. Right now, there's people in Venezuela, and we pray for God's blessing to be in that place that's been devastated by back-to-back earthquakes in their nation. They didn't plan for that. It ain't even necessarily because they did anything foolish or wrong. I don't know their business like that. But the reality is, there were some wise folk in that time, and there were some foolish folks in there right now. So all these things are common. And sometimes in this world, and this is where we get trapped up, sometimes it's hard to tell who's actually wise and who's actually foolish, right? Sometimes it seems like the one that's actually foolish look like they got it going on. Sometimes when we look at them YouTube videos or TikToks and all that stuff, we see these people got it figured out. Like all them little tricks they interrupt your YouTube videos to watch. Oh, why? If you drink beef fat, you'll be healthy. If you do this, all these little tricks and stuff, well, maybe that might be my way. Maybe that's the way out. But does it align with God's word? See, those are the things that they had in common. And don't get tripped up on the fact that just because somebody looked like they got it going on, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Right? Right? See, the key difference between the wise and the foolish, it says the wise person put Jesus' teachings into practice, where the foolish does not. The wise built his foundation on the rock, and the foolish on sand. The wise house was able to stand because it had a firm foundation. And then the Gospel of Luke, it talks about how that wise person dug deep till he can get to the rock. See, one of the challenges we have with the teachings of Jesus Christ is sometimes we've been taught wrong, right? Sometimes we've seen examples of people who mentioned the word, but they living wasn't really like it. Sometimes we've had to experience things in our life that has caused us to be hardened against the truth of the gospel or the very idea of religion itself. So when that writer says sometimes he had to dig to get to the rock, sometimes we got to dig past those bad relationships we have. We got to dig past those abuses that we experienced in life that's caused us to be hard. We got to dig past those generational curses and make sure we don't bring into our generations those things that we experienced in the past to make our tomorrow better than our yesterday. So sometimes we got to keep digging. And God's word is a tool that we have to continue to dig until we can get to that solid foundation. And what that wise man figured out is that there is no foundation that can be laid other than Jesus Christ. Yeah. See, Paul wrote about that in 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 13 when people was bickering back and forth about I'm Paul's, I'm Apollo's, I'm all this. But Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for no one can lay any foundation other than one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, or hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, but that day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. See, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between the wise and the fool till the storm comes. See, that's when you get exposed. Sometimes that one looked like they had it going on driving the biggest cars, got the biggest house. You really realize they got the smallest bank account left. And when that loan officer start coming, you see stuff start disappearing. But you won't know if you sitting in your shack looking at theirs saying, why can't I be like that? I want to be just like them, right? Right. You got to be careful comparing yourselves to others and realize that God has you here for a unique purpose. And he's going to equip you with everything you need for life and for godliness. And that's one of the things our wise builder figured out. So what is the foundation of your family? And that's what I want to just continue to ask a few things. Where is your foundation? And this is not about trying to put anybody down because I got to look at myself. Remember, I got to judge myself. And we got to ask ourselves each and every day as we make our plans, what is the foundation of my family? Is my goal to make everybody happy? Is my goal to run myself ragged but not teach them about the salvation of their souls in Jesus Christ? What is the foundation of my family? Am I working so hard that I'm not able to spend time with them and check some of those, what the teachers are telling them? What is the foundation of your family? Is Jesus the foundation of your family? And what about your finances? We talked about how we spend that money sometimes. And a lot of times we get tripped up because we looking at, what did Jesus call them? Looking at those people look like they got it going on. I think a prince talking about the beautiful ones. That was a long time ago. I don't listen to stuff no more, y'all. But he talked about the beautiful ones, the beautiful people. I'm trying to be like them. But you know what? God didn't call you to be them. God called you to be you. So are we shaping our finances based on trying to please other people or to look a certain way with other people when God is saying, I've given you what you need for right now. And if you will follow my word, if you will hold my teachings to your heart, you will see how that can grow. See, I say this all the time. I don't want you to be me because I can't be you. The only one that can do you is you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So when we set our heart on being what God called us to be, we focus our intention in building with that foundation of Jesus Christ. And his word teaches us about exactly who we are. Even as we pick our faith, as we progress in our faith, as we practice our faith, how are you practicing your faith, right? See, the Pharisees and Sadducees got in trouble, y'all, because they had the book of the law. They memorized it. They wrote it and they wore it on their foreheads and they wore it on their wrists and they wrote it on top of the house. But it never penetrated their heart. They got caught up in the legalism of it all. They got caught up in trying to make it look like they was perfect and made it their effort to find everybody who looked like they wasn't following that rule list that they made. See, that hypocrisy is not a strong foundation for your faith. But the foundation of your faith, just like we said, is a change of heart that can only be brought about through a relationship with Jesus Christ, right? What is the foundation of your faith? Oh, yes, yes. God has shown us a way that even in this wicked world, even in this time right now where we're going through trouble, we can have endurance. Because there's going to be setbacks to come, y'all, but we still standing. There's going to be times where things just don't go our way, but in Jesus Christ, we still standing. Oh, we have a hope that goes beyond this world. And that hope on eternity helps us to stand even when things get a little bit rough. So, yeah. Right now, things are a little messy in our country right now, but we're still standing. Yeah, we're going through a few financial hardships right now. But thanks be to God for the love of God and the love of his people, where we can come together as the body of Christ and help those in need. Yeah, we're dealing with a few sicknesses in our body right now. And we can go to God, and God says, if it be his will, he will heal you and get you back on your feet. Do you realize you got an assignment from God? And the reality of that is, you're not going to be here one day longer or one day less than the time he's given you to complete your assignment. So that's why he said in that sermon on the Mount, he said, don't worry about the cares of tomorrow. He ain't talking about being lazy. He's saying, I got you. He said, the cares of tomorrow will take care of themselves. You just focus right now on seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That righteous is one where we recognize that in and of myself, in and of my whole own strength, man, I can't do it. Yeah. In and of my own strength, I ain't going to be perfect like God. I messed up just a little while ago. I ain't going to be perfect, but I got a Savior who shed his blood for me. Well, I can go to him and I say, God, please forgive me of those sins. And it says he will cleanse us and forgive us of all unrighteousness so we can walk that walk that God has called us to do. So I want you to consider today as I get ready to end this message. And I pray that the message just ends from this mic, but it continues in your heart. Because we got some questions we got to check ourselves on. And it's all right as a child of God. It's all right as a disciple to check yourself sometimes. As a matter of fact, you will never grow until you question some of those things that you count as truth. Those things that you've accepted, right? See, a faith that can't be trusted, a faith that hadn't been tested, can't really be trusted. So if you've gone through some tough times in your life and you made it through to the other side, you can tell somebody with assurance, oh, yeah, I've been there. Done that. God is good. Yeah. All the time and all the time, God is good. And you don't say it just as vain repetition. You say it because you know it from the bottom of your heart. In the same way, God's truth. Yeah, it takes a minute sometimes to get it right in my head. But, oh, I thank God I'm not what I used to be. Oh, I'm not necessarily what I want to be, but I thank God for his presence in my life. I thank God that his word in my heart gets clearer and clearer every day. And I thank God for the opportunity because he said everyone's invited to his word. It don't matter what your mama did. No, it don't matter what your daddy did. He said you. So stop letting other people block your blessing. God says, if you attend to my word, then I will bless you. And there's examples throughout the scripture where God took some people from broken places and brought them out for his glory. Your life is about the glory of God. So what I want to remind you today, that as we set our heart on the teachings of Jesus Christ. Yeah, sometimes we take that scripture and say, oh, you're not doing right. If you don't call him Lord, Lord, you know where you're going. But it's not that kind of text. Because God wants us to experience life as a kingdom citizen. And the only way you can do that is by taking his word to heart. So my challenge to you today is to check your foundation. Check your heart. Look at your family. Look at your finances. Look at your friends. I didn't even talk about that. And look at your faith. And ask yourself, is the foundation of this relationship glorifying God? Am I doing this to see what I can get out of them? Or am I doing this to share the love of Christ, to share the gifts and talent that God has given me? Yeah. What am I spending on my life on? How am I building on today? I want to close on that thought today. But I also want to give an opportunity for those of you who perhaps have not made that profession of faith in your own heart. The doors of the church are open. And you have opportunities right now. God. If you're saying in your heart, I kind of avoided that whole Lord thing because I ain't trying to bow down to nobody. I got this. But I'm a living witness that you ain't got this. But I know who does. Jesus is worthy of your honor. Jesus is worthy of your worship. Romans 12:1 says that commit. By the mercies of God, commit yourself a living sacrifice unto God that you might prove his acceptable work. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your life. He can transform your life if you will give your heart to him. I'm going to ask you to stand right now for just a moment. The doors of the church are open for anyone who would like to make this your day to turn it around. To make this the day that you accept the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and his word, because it will change your soul. It will give you brand new life. Just like Jesus met that multitude on the mountain, he also extends his offer to each and every one of you any day, any time. Because he said, come unto me, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So if you're ready for that rest that only Christ can give, commit your ways to Him. The Word of God and the love of God will help us to have both earthly endurance and heavenly assurance. Amen. 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 All right. Let us stand as we prepare for our benediction. Lord God, we thank you so much for your presence here today. We thank you, Lord God, for what our eyes have seen. And we thank you, Lord God, for the words that you spoke to our very hearts, Lord God. Oh, Father God, we pray that your peace will be with us, that your love may guide us, Lord God, and that we might do those things that you called us to do, that we may harm no one and that no one harm us. It's in the name of Christ Jesus that we pray. Let every heart say together, amen. Amen. You are dismissed. God bless you. God bless you.